It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
My friend and colleague, meteorologist Ian Oliver, caught my attention last week when he got dunked by a bucket full of ice ahead of a polar plunge challenge he was preparing to take part in this weekend in Minneapolis. I've been on a lot of adventures in my broadcasting career, but admittedly, this is something that I have never had the desire to do. So I was intrigued as to how Ian got to this point of actually planning to jump into freezing water for a very good cause. I also wanted to chat with Ian about his time with Fox Weather and the path which brought him over here, which I always love to find out about. So I reached out and asked if he could join us right before he flies to Minnesota and take that freezing swim. Here he is, the host of Fox Weather Now from 3 to 6 p.m. on Fox Weather. Ian Oliver is on the Janice Dean podcast. Ian Oliver, you made the Dean's list.
I'm excited. It's an honor.
Aw. Well, listen, I do watch your program from 3 to 6. You are in the heart of severe weather when it's happening, because that's when we typically see, you mm-hmm. know, that the daytime heating take place and the severe threat. And you're so good at what you do because, and let me just, you know, talk about how great you are for a moment. You explain what's happening in a way the viewers can understand. And I think that is one of the greatest gifts that you can have as a broadcast meteorologist, is understand the science behind it because it's complicated, but also be able to talk in layman's terms to your audience so that they get it.
There's an appetite for it. People love weather. I mean, it's the first thing anybody ever talks about.
That's
if
true.
There's nothing to talk about.
I know.
It's
even today, a guy comes up to me, a guy who likes to complain about the weather in the building that I have not revealed who that is. But, and he's usually about the winter storms, like, oh, how much snow are we going to get, Janice Dean? And what's up with this weather, Janice Dean? And then today he was like, well, is it springtime? Because now my kids love to ski. Where's the snow?
It's a thankless job. We do it because we love it. But yeah, the name of the show is Fox Weather Now. It's now because stuff is always happening.
Yeah.
3 to 6. It's like the sky literally starts falling.
Yes.
That's what I love about it, is that we have a bit of a rundown, the bones for the show.
Yep.
And then it's kind of an exercise in futility
because yeah.
we throw it out every day anyway.
What is the weather event that made you want to be a meteorologist?
Bob in 1991.
Wow.
So I grew up on the south coast of Massachusetts.
Okay.
And we had an A-frame house, which was like way out of place in southern Massachusetts, these 50-foot pine trees all around it. And I remember looking out in the backyard and just watching the pine trees like getting stressed and then snapping, a couple of them flying away.
Yeah.
And my mom said that I was just standing at the sliding glass door and she's like, look at this weirdo. Like, he's got something, you know. And it was the weather bug. That was it. I was three watching watching them fly away. Yeah.
Huh. And then, okay, so you remember that event. Did you watch the local weather forecast mm-hmm. and, you know, want to know more? How did that all happen?
Yeah, I grew up kind of, I call it the armpit of Cape Cod geographically.
Are they okay with that?
Probably not. It's the first town in from Rhode Island. So it was the Boston market and the Providence market.
Okay.
And yeah, I played soccer. I loved to ski. So I grew up kind of watching both markets, and something ridiculous like 12 of the 16 meteorologists had gone to Linden State College in Vermont. So okay. I said, hey, that's that. And Linden State it is for me too.
Wow. Were you were good in math and science, I assume?
Yeah, good enough, I guess. The science was, that's what I always tell. I know that you're constantly talking to young people about how to get into this business as well.
Yes.
And the thing that sneaks up on everybody is math.
Yes.
Because the science, that's where it's what we were just talking about. People love it.
Yep.
It's easy to study something you love.
Yes.
I don't know that anybody loves
thermodynamics.
Calc and this.
Yeah.
And that. Yeah.
It's crazy. I needed a tutor. Yeah.
It's foul. And that was the only thing that was a little bit of a bummer, was watching the folks that didn't necessarily make it through the program. It wasn't because of the meteorology. It was because maybe not our preparedness for the amount of math that was going to be in the mix.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm always saying, like, just keep at it. And if you need to hire a tutor, don't be ashamed of that.
Yeah.
You know, just keep doing it.
Because in your day-to-day job, you'll be doing what you love, which
is
the weather and the science. You're not deriving thermodynamic equations when you pull up to the morning meeting.
I've seen you. Well, maybe Amy Freeze sometimes will put up, like, you know, how you get the wind chill and the actual equation. And I'm like, oh, Amy.
Get
it's
lost.
Like flashbacks.
That's the equation for how she got her last name, the Freeze.
Yeah, that's right. Tell me one of the events that stands out in your mind that you helped forecast, that, you know, you're either proud of or you had to kind of explain why it didn't happen. You know,
I think for me, it goes back to Irma down in Florida, because that kind of brought in a more clear sense to me weather events like Sandy here that can, it's just a storm of reference. It's before Irma, after Irma.
Yes.
Before Sandy, after Sandy.
Yes.
Nothing is especially the same because it has such an impact on the place. Irma was especially so down in Florida because it was such a monster in the middle of the Atlantic, which meant we were talking about it
for a long time.
Here it is today. Here it is today. It was 10 days of this being a five at times, and everybody was terrified because we know what it can do.
Yep.
And I was down in Miami. I was in Naples. I was back in Tampa reporting in the field at USF. And it's gross, but I was walking my two pugs down Ashley Drive in downtown Tampa in the days immediately following Irma. Mm-hmm. And one of my pugs decides he wants to do his business right in the middle of the sidewalk.
Okay.
This is a busy street in Tampa, and a car pulls up. I'm being a good pug owner and, you know,
Picking up. Yeah.
And someone just stops in the middle of green light, busy road.
Yeah.
Puts the window down, and they're like, "Hey, Ian, like, have you slept? Like, thank you so much. We've been watching you for days. Like, we really appreciate." I said weather is a thankless job. It's mostly a thankless job. It was a moment like that when you're like, wow, this is a hugely—
Had an impact.
Yes, hugely impactful situation. And that's where I was honored to do that.
Yeah. What do you like forecasting? What's your favorite?
I like forecasting tropical weather. I do. I think that's probably just from half a dozen years of being down. I've been lucky because— I told you I'm a New England guy.
Mm-hmm.
My first job was in Burlington, Vermont, so I did a lot of winter weather forecasting. And I was in Kentucky and Lexington, and that was a lot of severe weather. And then being down in Florida, it was tropical. I do like the tropical aspect of storms not sneaking up on you.
Yes.
Watching for trends and changes in structure and evolution. Uh-huh. That is an exciting end because the storms are so impactful.
Yeah, of course. Do you like being out there as the storm is making landfall?
I do. I was on the East Coast for Matthew. I was out in Hermine, Irma, of course. I got to fly into Dorian with the Hurricane Hunters.
Ooh, with the Hurricane Hunters.
Yes.
Wow. What was that like?
That was incredible.
Yeah. Were you scared?
I was more excited than scared.
Yeah.
My wife was not pleased. But we left from Lakeland Linder Airport. They had... They used to be at MacDill Air Force Base on the southern part of South Tampa. They built this beautiful facility in Lakeland, and they have a special transponder. And the coolest part of it for me was they can fly in restricted airspace. So we flew right over Kennedy Space Center,
mm-hmm.
and you could see the shuttle landing strip. You could see Launch Pad 39A.
Yeah.
And then Dorian, I mean, we know what it did in the Bahamas. It was still a Category 3, and to get that stadium effect, flying through the eye wall, and they let me
see it.
They let me sit in the jump seat. It was two pilots and a flight engineer who just maintains the throttle because the Hurricane Hunters, they're trying to stay on the same heading, same airspeed, same altitude for the drop zones as they're, you know, releasing those into the storm. And yeah, just to sit in the jump seat with a seatbelt, and there was a few scientists from the Hurricane Research Division from NOAA, and they were testing an instrument, an upgrade to the SFMR that measures the wind speed. They're like, hey, do you guys mind if we punch the eye wall a few more times? We ended up flying through the eye wall for like 3 hours.
What?
I still have to, I'm working in local, I still have to write a story for the 11 o'clock news. So I get my MacBook out, and next thing you know, there was a granola bar that went missing.
Oh, no!
So, I mean, it had to be done. There was work to be done. And I was cool until I started staring at my MacBook screen, bouncing around the eye wall.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't work out as
well.
Didn't
work out as well. Did you get to, what was the category in Dorian when you were there?
It topped out at 5. I was in it as a 3.
A 3. So major hurricane. Did you get the calm eye?
Yes.
You did.
It was fascinating. It was like the most tranquil, peaceful, just gorgeous. And the color was special. But honestly, that surprised me because I was in the cockpit with the flight engineer and the two pilots for hours. And we were just chit-chatting. And I was like, I assume that it was the nastiest hurricanes that were the worst flights, and it's not. They said sloppy storms
like are the worst,
intensifying or lopsided systems because they're
you never have a break,
right?
Yeah,
right. So that was surprising.
And I mean, their shift is a long one. It's not just you're up there for an hour or two. It's like hours.
We were up there for 7.
Yeah.
So that was. That was why a story needed to get written. Otherwise, I would have been hanging around.
Did you have a camera person with you, too?
I did.
You did?
I did. And it was funny. I have some funny footage from they let me drop the drop sign out.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you do it?
There's this vacuum seal hatch on the bottom. So one of the engineers pulls that off.
Okay.
And there's kind of like a giant like PVC tube that they put the drop sign in.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just hold it flush. So me, like a knucklehead, I have my finger on the end of the PVC pipe.
Yeah.
And it gets, I didn't realize the suction would be as crazy as it is. And it sucked it right in. Breaks my like thumbnail like in half. I'm bleeding.
Oh,
but no. I'm a guy. I'm being a guy's guy. I'm trying to act like my thumbnail didn't just crack it.
Oh my God.
I'm smiling. It was a blast. I loved it. I have a lot of respect for what those folks do.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these storms are a couple dozen, three dozen flights every 6 hours.
I mean, and these guys do save lives. And I feel like we have to hats off to them because this is what they do. And they, you know, gather information so that we can go on and have a better forecast. Tell the audience what a drop sonde is.
So I think the easiest way to describe it is something like a reverse weather balloon.
Okay.
Everyone knows weather balloons. They fill them up at the weather service offices. They go up. They measure temperature, humidity, pressure. Drop sondes do the same thing, but they have the unfortunate task of getting tossed out the back of a WP3 and falling through the storm. But until they do that, the forecast models don't really have an accurate three-dimensional perspective of the storm. So effectively, I guess it's kind of like everyone's talking about Twister again because the sequel is coming out. That's what Dorothy was, those little things that got scooped up into the tornadoes. They actually do that with hurricanes, and it's not science fiction. It's the Hurricane Hunters.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, Twister. What did you think when you first saw that movie?
So I loved it. I have reservations with the because anytime you're messing with a classic, you're playing a dangerous game.
I agree.
Especially with disaster movies. I was actually talking to Bob Van Dillon the other day. when I went to see the second Independence Day.
Yeah.
And they're like, Will Smith, he didn't make it. He was in a test flight accident. I'm like, I said to my wife, we should just get out of here.
I'm out.
Like, this isn't going to get better. This is going to get worse. So I have reservations, but I hope it's awesome.
Yeah, me too. What is there? Is it relatives of the people? It was Helen Hunt and Bill Pullman?
Paxton? Pullman.
Paxton. No, it was
Paxton.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
What does the trailer look like? I haven't seen it yet.
The trailer actually, I mean, 2024 CGI is a
cool.
I don't know if they're going to, you know, drive like a Dodge Ram through a house like the original. But I hope they do.
When does it come out?
I think this summer.
Okay.
I think like July.
Yeah, listen, if it spurs on the conversation or it puts a little light bulb in somebody's head, that's
awesome. We know it'll be more scientifically accurate than Sharknado. So there's that at least.
Did you watch that?
I didn't watch it. I was like, I was like, I'm out. I'm out on this.
Did you do a segment on TV about it?
Of course. I watched the trailer and I was like, I've seen enough.
Like, so what did you, like just completely?
I blew it off. Yeah, it's like there was a million. I mean, there's like 15 of them and they're on the Sci-Fi channel every day. But
yeah, that's true.
Some other time. I will see Twisters though.
Yeah, me too. I think that's the one to see. And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Okay, so you're doing something that caught my eye on social media. You're doing a polar plunge.
First go around.
Oh, my. Okay, so tell me how all this happened.
So, honestly, it goes back to the very early days of Fox Weather, where we were launching this thing, and it was kind of nebulous. Like, is this an app? Is this a fast channel? Is this a network? And it's kind of like all of those things and none of those things, and it was evolving. And one of the coolest things of being a part of this from launch day was meeting the Mets and kind of our extended Fox family across the country. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest, I call him certified friend of the program.
Yeah.
He's been my on-air buddy, becoming my buddy over the past few years, a big supporter of what we've been doing, like you've been from the beginning. And it's Ian Leonard at Fox 9 Minneapolis.
Okay.
And this is 1,000% his thing. But because he's been such a friend to us, we've got to be on the outside looking in over the past few years of what him and his team has been doing, which is in 15 years, he actually brought this from when he was up in Canada to Minneapolis. He's done over 400 polar plunges.
What?
In 15 years.
Why? No, I know. It's for a good cause.
Yes, to benefit Special Olympics, so much so that he and his team in that decade and a half, they've raised over $30 million.
What?
Last year alone, $4.5 million.
That is tremendous.
Yeah. So he does a whole season. It's 12 or 13 weeks long.
Okay.
He has, which I've joke with him about, he does this thing called the Bad Pants Invitational. It's a golf tournament, and you have to wear horrific looking golf pants
to
compete. And I'm like, Ian, like, I love golf, and I would happily wear bad pants. Why did you finesse me into a polar plunge? Like, I'll come visit you in June. But he had jokingly challenged me on the air.
Okay.
And again, he has been such a wonderful supporter of our show and what we've been doing, and the cause is so excellent, and we've got to watch him live on our air do polar plunges.
Wow.
So when he called me out, it's...
You have to... How do you prepare for something like this?
So I would have been fine just doing it. But Will, one of our bosses over at Fox Weather, had the bright idea, which seemed kind of pointed and intentional, that he should dump like the ice bucket challenge came back last week. So all of a sudden on Fox Square,
was happening?
Not until Thursday. On Thursday, I knew it was happening Friday.
Okay.
But so that was just a little bit of training, and just to give folks a heads up that we were doing it this week.
Okay.
But I looked at the forecast this morning.
Yeah.
Thursday morning, 16 degrees.
The cold front, the Arctic cold front comes
but
in.
But then there's this epic comeback. By Friday afternoon, it's going to be 58 in
Whoa!
Minneapolis.
So, you got a story there.
Yeah. I mean, I know they get turbulent weather, but that seems...
That is crazy.
That's a blessing from Mother Nature.
Okay, so
Phil.
You do the polar plunge on the 16 degree day?
I travel on the
16
degree day.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And then I plunge on
the 58 degree day?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
So, yeah, that was a... I keep saying this to Ian, and he seems to get like some sick joy out of it that I have hope that it's not going to be, because the water is still 34.
Of course. 33, of course 34. It is. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. That's not really.
But I mean, if I have my choice of air temperatures, I would probably go with the 58,
right,
regardless of the water temp.
And you can't wear like a scuba outfit or anything?
So the costumes are the best part of it.
Oh.
I said Ian's done 400 plus.
Yes.
He's never repeated a costume.
Well, how does, really?
He is like a costume guy.
So kind of like superhero stuff or?
Everything stuff.
Everything stuff.
So he's, this year, I think circus is the theme.
Okay.
So he's been a strongman, he's been a lion tamer, he's done, and then his team kind of, they all play into the same theme.
Okay.
But for this, there's actually two. We're doing one on Friday, one on Saturday. One was on. They cut the hole in the lake.
Okay.
And Ian used to test the waters.
Okay.
And then it became some of the local businesses said, hey, like, you know, we'll jump on TV with you and donate to Special Olympics.
Very
and
nice.
He said, great.
Okay.
And then the schools started coming out on Friday.
Wow.
So then Friday becomes a big deal. And then the main event, which is, I think, going to be several thousand plungers, okay, is Saturday.
Ah.
But for Friday, I guess, he called me last week and he said he had a weather-themed tag team duo.
Okay.
We're going to be wrestlers in tights. Throwback wrestling costume.
Nice.
And we're going to be
like 80s wrestling?
80s wrestling.
Okay, yep.
And it's going to be the tag team duo of El Nino and La Nina.
Oh, nice. Remember Chris Farley did that on Saturday Night,
yes,
Live, El Nino?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So big tip of the cap.
A very
big
nice
nod to Chris Farley.
Oh, I love that. Now, do you guys all jump in together or separately?
He leads the way.
Okay.
He kind of, he's the first one off, and then everybody follows. So.
How big is the hole? How big is the?
So, this year, the whole lake is the hole.
Because it hasn't frozen over.
Yeah. They've had this like pathetic,
crazy,
like kind of the winter that wasn't like we had last year and this year, I guess. But yeah, they had the record warmth last. So this is Lake Nokomis in Minneapolis, and yeah, they have like,
they don't have to do any work.
No. So we're going to be running in. Well, I guess there's some ice.
Is the water relatively warmer than it normally is right now?
It is, but by a degree or two.
Okay.
And I'm sure that 16 degree temp Thursday morning not going to help us out
exactly
much.
Exactly.
But yeah, I kind of would have preferred to done the full jump into the hole, but again, it's ice or no ice, rain or shine.
How long do you have to be in there for? Is there a time limit?
So that's the other thing that Ian has had like kind of a maniacal laughter about. Because I said, oh, great. So we do Friday and Saturday. It's two plunges. And he was like, yeah, it's two plunges, which I think two plunges is going to be more like 20 plunges.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean 20 plunges?
Because he's kind of, you know, leading the whole charade.
So he gets up again and goes in again?
I think he does some hits from inside the water.
Oh, well, this guy is, I mean, he's off his rocker.
Yes. He's a lunatic in the best way. So, I mean, I'm following his lead. I'm there to see what this is all about.
Okay.
And like I said, we've been so impressed with what he's done. And we're really kind of looking forward to getting a peek into it.
But see, do you worry about hypothermia or anything like that?
So
you have to be careful with this kind of stuff.
My mom certainly does.
Yes.
She's like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? I'm like, they have paramedics on site.
Okay.
I said to her, there's literally buses of school-age children.
Right.
Arriving to support this same cause. Everybody is plunging.
Okay.
And these are Minnesotans. They can handle little bit of cold, especially when it hasn't been very cold this
year.
So they do it in a very safe way, I
think. One and done, or would you do it? Well, how about we talk after you do it?
A debrief? Yeah. I have a feeling. I'm told that the bad pants invitational could certainly happen. So I've never even been to the Upper Midwest.
Really?
No. This will be It's kind of like my first time on the Jersey Shore was the blizzard back in 2022 when we just started.
Oh, interesting.
I was like, I'm sure this is a nice place, but I'd like to come back at some other time.
Exactly. Like when I was up at Washington, it was a great event. I liked it, but I would like to see it in the summer.
Yes. Then you can get the bumper sticker, too, in the summer when you can drive up.
That's exactly it. Okay. So are they going to be filming a special for Fox Weather?
Yes. So we will be able, you can watch it live.
Okay.
Friday and Saturday. I'm going to do Fox Weather Now from the lakeside.
Okay.
Coming up on Friday.
Okay.
Saturday morning, we'll be doing some more plunges. And then, yes, they're going to, they already put together a wonderful piece on, I gave you kind of the spark notes of how Ian developed this and built his team and how he's done this over the past decade and a half. They put together a great piece on that. We're also going to meet some of the athletes.
Recipients, yeah.
And we have a wonderful piece on a highlight, one of the athletes coming up and their family. And we're going to throw in some of the behind-the-scenes nonsense of whatever plays out there. So it should actually be a pretty fun piece. We should have that by middle of March.
Oh, good. Okay, perfect. Because this is going to air after you do the polar plunge, and I just want to make sure that people can go watch after the effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Kind of not all dissimilar to your adventure.
That's
to,
right. Mount Washington.
Which congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
What a wonderful way to celebrate,
It was
celebrate
very cool.
Too.
Yeah. We're trying to think about other adventures. I think, I don't know if polar plunge is on the bucket list. But
apparently there are health benefits.
I've heard. There's a whole thing. People actually have like ice. Not buckets, but ice tubs
in their backyard. It's kind of what's hot right now.
What does it do? Do you know the science behind this?
I guess they're a circulation and this, that. And I'm like, I'm all right. You know, like I'll just try to eat healthy and go to the gym.
Hot tub challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, hot tub challenge is more my speed.
That's awesome. Okay, so Fox Weather, how long? It's been over two years now.
October will be three.
Wow. And what do you think?
I can't believe, like I said, we started in this nebulous place. People were like, what is it? How do I watch? And now it's like everywhere you look, we're there now. And it's in this current space of where media is. People consume media when they want, how they want
it's
now.
True.
So you have to be convenient for people. And we've, to everybody's credit, done a really good job of becoming a convenient entity and a spot that people can get weather information that they trust easily.
Yeah.
So we're always on. It's free 99, which is the best price. And folks, you can find us basically anywhere that you consume media now. So, and we're always, you know, there's always something to talk about
there really
in the weather
is.
World.
Yeah. And the app is great, too. I'm not just saying that because, you know, I work here in Fox Weather. The app is excellent. I love it.
It's really clean.
It is.
And that's something from launch to now. I mean, they've worked so hard on that with all the features. And now it really is. We're doing weather news.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
There's so much that's just weather adjacent that has these like weird weather impacts that you wouldn't even necessarily consider.
Yep.
So that to me, coming from local, it's actually everything else now that is most compelling for me, which I didn't know that would be the case. Hmm. It's the interviews and talking to people.
Yeah.
And that's the type of stuff where I knew I liked weather, you know, but tossing it to Ian for, you know, 3 minutes of a local forecast and tossing it back.
Yeah.
And what we're doing here is two entirely different things.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of learning that I almost enjoy all the other stuff as much as the forecasting.
Well, you do a great job. You really do, Ian. And I'm not just saying that. You know, I really, you know, I appreciate that you've got the science background, but you talk about the weather so that people understand it. You are genuinely interested in people and weather, and that really comes across, which I want to make sure that you know that.
Thank you. And thanks for, again, I talk about Ian, but it's really, you know, folks like you, folks like Ian, that kind of gave this thing a chance out of the get-go. And it's been such an exciting thing over the past few years to watch this grow and see what it's become. And I'm excited for what comes next.
Yep, me too. So you're going to check back after Polar Plunge, and we're going to make sure everyone knows about the date of the special. Good luck.
Thank you. I'm thinking warm thoughts. It's working.
Is your wife going with you?
She can't. She okay. It all kind of came about quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So
my husband.
She's working.
Never. I know. I get it. But thank goodness we have supportive spouses, because this is a bit of a crazy business. And if you don't have that supportive person that lets us do crazy stuff, you know, so we're grateful for that too.
Very much so. And she. She's a healthcare worker.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a similar experience to you.
Fireman.
And your husband.
Yep.
She has a really, really stressful and important job in what she's doing. So I have a ton of respect for that. Yep. And she knows that in a different way, scheduling wise and this and that. Just two kind of crazy industries in their
own
way. It's
true. But we complement each other in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ian, awesome. You're amazing. And how do people support the Special Olympics?
You can find our link on Fox Weather, or you can find me social media anywhere. If you can help, we would love to. We, as the team, Ian's team, is already up over 100K.
What?
So, and this is their Super Bowl. This is the biggest event out of all of them. Their goal is 150.
150. Okay.
So well on their way, and we're trying to help them get there, and I think we're going to do it. You're going to see a couple.
I think so too.
A couple wrestlers in tights out there.
Maybe we get you on Fox and Friends too.
That'd be wonderful.
Okay, let's do that. I know a few people. Okay. Because you're going to be doing hits in the morning, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's do that. We'll definitely do that.
And I think Saturday might be even warmer.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'll make sure. I'll make some phone calls. Ian Oliver, thank you so much for being here, and to be continued.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Janet.
I can't wait to see the outfit.
Next time I see you, I'll be a popsicle.
Thanks again to Ian for joining me today to talk about his career, his love of weather, and the details about the Polar Plunge Challenge. And I'll be sure to have Ian back with Ian Leonard to talk about their fun freezing fundraising adventure. If you would like to donate or find out more about the event they're both taking part in, you can head to plungemn.org. You can also follow Ian on social media. He's at IanOliverWX. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.